Hi, this is David Sweet, CEO and founder of Focus Core Japan. And if you are like many of the APAC leaders that I speak to, you're struggling in Japan to find the right talent. You get bombarded with irrelevant resumes or a lack of resumes altogether. I would like to invite you to discover the power of Focus Core's retained search. Let Focus Core help you swiftly secure top-tier talent in this candidate short market. I'd like to invite you to shoot me an email and explore how we're different, and with 100% refundable trial, we can revolutionize your hiring process today. Now on to our podcast.
As I have done five turnaround cases in my career so far, this is a lesson and learn for myself. And then, so placing the right people at the right position, especially for key senior role, is very important. On top, to keep recognizing people. And then, if you find early win, that celebrating the achievement at the right timing is also very important to build confidence to move forward.
Welcome to the Focus Core podcast. I'm very happy to bring back to our show Hideo Goto. Goto-san was Focus Core podcast number one guest. So welcome back, Goto-san.
Thank you for inviting me again to your podcast today.
So for those of you who may not have tuned in on that show, so Goto-san is the president of Schick Japan. He's got a fantastic career. He graduated from Meiji University and has an MBA from Thunderbird School of Management. He's worked at Johnson & Johnson. He's worked at L'Oreal and he's worked at Henkel. He's worked overseas. He was country managers in different countries as well as in Japan. So we'll dive into a lot about leadership and management and especially around Japan. So I'm looking forward to this conversation, Goto-san.
Yeah, me too.
So you've settled into working with Schick Japan. Tell me a little bit about why you chose to join them and lead them here.
Yeah, it is because of the three reasons to join Schick Japan. The first one is the visibility in the market and the group is big. For example, we are number one player with 50% market share in wet shaving in Japan. And then the number two sales size, number one profitability in the group. So my direct boss is a global CEO, and then Japan has full empowerment in terms of the decision making, which is good and then unique. And then the second point is exciting business case, because now the Schick Japan is transforming from shaving company to beauty grooming company, which is also dynamic. And then the third point is a culture fit, because we have four values in our culture. First one is people first. We recognize and celebrate people. And then the second point is move forward. It's like an entrepreneurship spirit. And the third one is a listen up, speak up, which is open mind communication. And then the last three, the owning together, is we demonstrate ownership and collaboration. Actually, I like this culture. So because of three reasons, I joined Schick Japan.
That's great. And it's a great culture. Let's talk a little bit about the transformation, because that's exciting. Everybody, I think most listeners know Schick. I think a lot of people, a lot of men especially, know the shaving aspect of the company. And also, I was always surprised that Schick has, over 80% of women's wet shaving as well. But transferring to beauty grooming, that's interesting. Talk more around that.
Yeah. Actually, as you mentioned, the Schick has the highest market share. For example, overall 50%, but for men's category, it's also 50%. Women's, it's close to 80%, as you mentioned, right? So our business in shaving is quite good, but our challenge also in how we can expand categories, beyond the shaving. And then, we want to become the more beauty grooming company, not just only rely on the shaving part. Mm. So This is very dynamic in the business case, and which also excites me.
What will that look like as you proceed through that transformation, do you think?
I think for the transformation, of course, in terms of the category, portfolio, brand portfolio, we try to expand. And then we also, try to, change the people's, the mindset, how we can go to the next step. Maybe I can also share, that in the later questions,
Okay. I know, and you're no stranger to say, starting up new things and having new products. So with your background, you've had a lot of startup experiences in Japan, as well as in Taiwan and Korea. How do you find Japan different?
Oh, yeah. I think, the culture, consumer, retail environment are very different, in each country, right? For example, when I was in Taiwan, Taiwan is very passionate, emotional culture, and then the innovation promotion driven market, and retail is very key account focused. And then of course, Japan is different. However, for me, the key recipe to success is always same in the end. So, my approach is, first of all, you need to understand their culture, people, market, right? So to deep dive in the local culture, I tend to follow local way in terms of food or gathering or language and so on. And then I always spend first 1 to 2 months for one-on-one with all team members for my understanding. But then you understand the business and the people. And then I focus on the more the portfolio and the people. So regarding the portfolio, it tends to be fragmented and lose focus. So that's why, the fewer, bigger approach, more focused, and then more, the clarify the key bet is very important for the portfolio part. And then as for the people, you need to place right people at the right position, especially for senior role, and then the empower them while I'm playing as a head coach. I think this kind of the key recipe is always same, even in Japan, Taiwan, or Korea. Behind the turnaround case, yeah.
How do you find the differences? Because a lot of our listeners are in APAC and they're managing Japan from overseas, for example. And how do you find Japanese communication? What advice would you give for people who are APAC leaders that are working with Japan? And it's much more nuanced here, right? How do you
navigate
that?
Yeah. As you know, the Japanese, there are high context communication. So which is maybe new to other, the Asian leaders. So I think that you need to read between the lines in communicating Japanese, right? So, and then they tend to be open in an offline format. So I think, for me, the leveraging casual situation, such as maybe at the cafe or the drinking time to get the honest feedback. And be open yourself to them to build trust. I think for me, I have a round table with all team members at every quarter. And then, not just join the meeting, but I also join the gathering after the meeting. And then where I can build close relationship with them. And then I can also check they are on the right direction or not. I think this kind of approach is important when you communicate with Japanese team.
So making sure that you have that kind of casual out of meeting experience for when you're communicating with people as well.
Yeah, in that format, they are more open. Then you can see the reality.
And I know, from your career and having spoken with you several times, you're an innovator. And that's super important for you. How do you approach that? Because in Japan, we're very traditionally risk adverse. So how do you kind of combat that in Japan?
Yeah. For us, for Shik Japan case, also innovation is key driver to accelerate the growth, right? So my approach is two things. First one is I try to leverage, culture. And then the second one is working the environment. So as I mentioned before, that we have, the move forward culture. So where you can take risk and then okay to fail as long as you challenge new things, right? So the fail fast and fail smart or fail small, this is good, in Shik Japan. And you can learn from failure and there's no penalty. And I recognize people who took risk to challenge new things at Culture Award. The other point is to create a fearless environment. So the Shik Japan just opened a new head office in last October, as you know. And then the new office, I created, beauty grooming studio and laboratory on the office floor where people can try and error in developing new products. And we have open collaboration spaces beyond the functions and that breaks silo mindset. And then we opened a big cafe and an event space on the office floor where people can exchange any idea at casual format, right? So that you need to change, the working environment where, the people can freely discuss any topics and then, that try to think out of box. And then you also just try to leverage your own culture to drive the innovation. This is my approach.
That's great. Yeah, it's a beautiful office. If there's pictures around, if anybody wants to take a look at that, you've done a beautiful job. I love the innovation, the grooming center. I think that's fantastic. And what I was interested in is that a lot of the things that are being tested and brought out are actually being exported as well, because Japan's very specific, but if it can be done in Japan, it can be kind of brought into the rest of Asia, right?
Yes. Because, usually for the global company, the more adaptation is kind of, normal way of product launch, right? But for Japan, Shik Japan, as I already mentioned, the position in the group is very visible and then it's very impactful. So that's why that we are empowered and we can develop our products in Japan, which is relevant to the Japanese consumers. So that's why that now we created the Rubble Space, right, and the beauty grouping studio. It looks like in a modern beauty salon, but this space is very important to drive the innovation and also try to act with agility.
Yeah, that's great. And I know, well, we'll talk a little bit about it later, but I know that you have such a good working environment, and all those things really play into having people be innovative and bring that out of box thinking, which is great.
Yeah. And then, that this beauty grooming studio slash laboratory idea also came from team. They wanted to have it. So that's
really?
Why through the office office renovation project, I tried to put their input in the plan. And then we made it.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic. So people likes the space.
That's great. And now, so with all those changes, what's the biggest challenge you're facing right now and how are you tackling it?
Yeah, just before talking about it, I just try to remind that the Shik Japan purpose is to make beauty grooming joyful. Mm-hmm. And then our vision is to be the most innovative beauty grooming company. And then we exist in Japan in order to beautify people and make them feel joyful and happy through our beauty grooming products beyond the shaving. So as I mentioned, we are transforming company from shaving to beauty grooming, right? So our challenge will be the expanding new categories such as skincare or the body care and so on, which is new to us, right? So unlocking the fixed mindset for shaving and getting team out of comfort zone could be an exciting challenge. Yeah. But now, we have new leadership team in the organization and then a new joyful place to work and highly engaged people. So I strongly believe we are ready and we are ready now and that we can make it.
That's exciting. It's I love your products. I use them being bald. I use your products to shave my head with. So
thank you.
I can testify to the quality and I'm looking forward to the other beauty products I can use.
Yeah.
Can you share any of the products that you might be launching?
Yes. Every year we have the innovation, which excite consumers.
Yeah.
Maybe you can test our product.
Nice. That'd be great. And let's shift gears since I like recruiting and talking about recruiting, and I've worked and partnered with you on some of that. But let's face it, Japan's a really tough market to attract talent, and the personal care industry specifically is really a small market, and it's a challenging market because there's the few players that are there are always trying to grab at the talent. What strategies do you employ to navigate the Japanese job market?
For me, you know, to strengthen employer branding is one of our growth strategies. Since last year, I strengthened PR exposures at the recruiting sites or the WWD or Forbes and my social network and then even this podcast, right?
Yep.
So yeah, as we now open the new modern, beautiful head office, so it is a powerful showcase in promoting company, right? And then, you know, just reflecting on why I joined the SHIC, I would like to sell SHIC Japan in terms of high visibility in the market and also group, where you feel proud, right? And then the high empowerment, where you can locally do development activation for Japanese consumers, even at the global company. And then the unique culture with people who us move forward, listen up, speak up, and own it together. So I think we have those kind of the elements, which, you know, that is more the benefit for the candidates.
Yeah, I think that's, I know when I speak to candidates about SHIC, it's, those are a couple of things that are super important, right?
Yeah.
And the other one, you know, you touched upon is that, you know, your voice is heard in Japan, and you have that entrepreneurial spirit, and you welcome that. And SHIC Japan has that authority and is autonomous enough to be able to do that outside of the rest of the group. And I think that's so attractive compared to some other bigger companies where you're just a cog in the machine, right?
Yes, because in the, we are fully empowered so that Japan can develop even razor and also skincare or the body care. So almost everything. And then the, you know, the headquarters is, you know, they're very supportive. You know, they can try to help Japan in order to bring the innovation and the excitement in the Japanese market.
That's great. One of the key components nowadays is always talking about diversity. And how do you approach building a diverse team in Japan?
Yeah, we are also promoting diversity, especially for marketing team. Yeah, because, you know, the, we would like to drive innovation, right? So as of today, you know, we already have Chinese and then half Taiwan and Japan, and then the half Poland and Japanese in the team, in the marketing team. So already we have the diversified team, especially in the marketing. And then given SHIC Japan business size is big in the group, so you can closely work with global diverse team. So the diversity is, you know, the everyday for us.
That's great. And I know going back, we talked about kind of you have that hybrid working style, and that's always very favorable to working parents and being, you know, being able to utilize that as well as, you know, having such a nice working space where you can go in and you know, have your meals there. And that just helps build up that diverse community with people, making it easier to work there, right?
Yes. Because, you know, that we are promoting hybrid work so that people can work in the office and also they're at home, right? And then, now we have the very beautiful, you know, the space, the joyful place to work. So that's why I don't need to ask people to come to the office. They naturally come to the office to just exchange information with colleagues, which is good. So it's not a top down. It's that it's just more natural, right? So I think it's very comfortable, you know, the working place.
That's brilliant. What challenges have you faced in recruiting in Japan? You know, especially compared to, say, you know, your time in Taiwan or Korea?
Yeah, in all the countries, it's not easy to recruit the top talent. But, you know, the for SHIC Japan case, we already have the 90% awareness in Japan. So that most of people know SHIC Japan. I think they know company, right? But, you know, knowing the very strong position in shaving, people have an image only for shaving. But now we are expanding the new categories, right? Like skincare or the body care, like cosmetics by new brands, which will help, you know, attract top talents. But, you know, that maybe some of, maybe people don't know, you know, that, you know, that our, you know, the future, you know, the strategy. So that's why, you know, that we are facing some difficulty, but, you know, that from next year, you know, that we also try to expand the categories, you know, so then, you know, that you can see the new products in the market. And then you feel more beauty, you know, for Chic Japan, which will help recruit, you know, the good talents.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge for you guys, especially around if you're trying to hire diverse talent and you want to hire women, for example. The perception is Chic's a male category of just face shaving cream, and being able to bring out that awareness that no, there's women shavers and it's very well known. And now it's personal care and it's a much broader brand. Bringing that awareness to market is always a great thing to be able to help in the recruitment, I think.
Yeah. And then actually, you know, that we are very strong in shaving for both men and women, right? And then, you know, that when you do shaving, you also need care products, like the personal care, right? Or before or after shaving. So that's why, you know, our, you know, the unique position, our strengths is how we can leverage the shaving category together with the adjacent categories, right? Like the care categories. But we can offer, you know, the total beauty grooming service. But for other competitors, they don't have shaving. But, you know, that we have the shaving and we know that the skin after shave, you know, compared to other competitors. So that's why that we try to, you know, that propose more like we try to offer some, you know, the unique beauty grooming service, not just only shaving, but also together with care product.
That's brilliant.
Which is exciting.
That's very exciting. Let's move on to, you know, just some of your personal insights from your career, because you have such a rich career at top companies globally. What's kind of the most important lessons you've learned over the span of your career, Goto-san?
Yeah, for me, the people is the most important to drive business. Even if you establish a great strategy or plan, but people is the one to execute. The all accomplishments are the result of people. So this is, you know, that what I'm thinking. And then as I have done 5 turnaround cases in my career so far, this is a lesson and learn for myself. And then so placing the right people at the right position, especially for key senior role, is very important. On top, you know, that keep recognizing people. And then if you find early win, that celebrating the achievement at the right timing is also very important to build confidence to move forward. Yeah, this is my lesson learned.
You know, it's easy to say that. In some ways that you get the best leaders and you get the best people, and you know, they get good to great. Jim Collins says you get the right people on the bus and then you put them in the right seats. What do you use to evaluate people to make sure that you're choosing the right people and getting them on the right seats?
And I think, you know, I'm just, you know, the thinking of the people who can be the change agent. I think this one is very important too. Especially, you know, that when you face turnaround or transformation case, if you just maintain the success case, maybe you don't need to challenge. But, you know, that, as I mentioned, I had, you know, the 5 turnaround cases before, always turnaround or transformation case. Okay. So for those kind of the case, you know, that I need a change agent. Yeah. So that is kind of, you know, the criteria to look at the right people or not.
I'm just diving into for my own personal questions. It's like, when you're interviewing people, what are you listening for? What kind of stories are you listening for to make sure that someone is a change agent? Because I think a lot of people say, yeah, I'm up for a change, and yeah, I want to be entrepreneurial, or I want to, you know, do something different. But then they come in and sometimes they don't, right? How do you change before then?
I think just try to listen to people and then just, you know, ask just some detail or some example. Then you can understand, you know, the story is true or not, right?
Yeah. Of course, yeah. What are your secrets? And I know this about you just from following your career, is that you have a very strong following of people, and that you're the people who have trusted you throughout their career have trusted you for their career as well. And you have a very strong leadership team that you've had for a long time, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, we work together and we also have a strong relationship, right? So then, you know, when some opportunity comes, you know, we can work together again. But I have very, you know, the good, you know, the leaders, you know, around myself.
Yep. And I think that's a key learning for any, you know, young managers, or because I do a lot of executive coaching for young managers. And one of the things that I keep on stressing is you build up the people around you, and those people will be with you throughout your career. And it's just, it's an important thing to remember, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about, I mean, your leadership must have changed over the years, right? How has that changed for you?
Yeah. Through several general management roles, I became a transformative leader. So my leadership style is to lead people with purpose, vision, to make people feel joyful. We call it wakuwaku in Japanese. Yeah. And I wakuwaku, yeah. I can change people's behavior by stirring their emotions, right? And then making them feel joyful, wakuwaku, and then mobilize all the energy of people, team toward the goal. I think, you know, that is, you know, the latest, you know, the leadership style.
That's brilliant. Waku waku.
Yeah.
I got a friend of mine who does the same thing. What gets your beans popping? What gets your beans jumping, I think? And it's it's similar kind of waku waku feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the kind of people you want to work with, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's brilliant.
So that's why our purpose, you know, as I already mentioned, that make beauty grooming joyful.
Yeah.
So the joyful means waku waku. So that's why they in the Chic Japan, you know, waku waku is a very important keyword.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's bigger, going out macro view with for new leaders. What advice would you give the new leaders?
Oh, actually, you know, I don't talk about the ideal leadership style because it depends on you and in the business situation, right? But what I can advise is, simply speaking, the judgment and the decision making are important role for leaders. So I suggest them to experience many diversified business cases and get a lot of challenges as much as possible, which help you become a good leader in the end. It's because my case, you know, in the Johnson & Johnson, L'Oreal, Henkel, now Chic, I experienced so many, you know, the different business cases in Japan, Taiwan, Korea, right? And then all the channels, like, you know, the consumer channel, luxury channel, professional channel, the e-commerce and so on, and then all the categories in beauty. So, and then I had also the very good, you know, the leaders, you know, in my boss, you know, they are the role model for me. Mm. And then I got a lot of challenge from them. So that is helpful for me, and then to build my leadership style as of today. So I suggest them to experience many cases.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I think it's good advice. And I'd highlight as well is making sure that you find that good manager as a mentor and really have them challenge you as much as possible.
Yeah. And then you just benchmark them as a role model, which is more fastest way to develop yourself.
Absolutely. Is there anything today that I've not asked you? We've covered quite a bit of ground today already. Anything that I haven't asked you?
Oh, just one thing, you know, the Chic Japan is kind of a joyful place to work. Yeah. I just want to share, you know, thanks to all the strategic initiative, which I already shared, you know, and then also we have done so far in the last 1 year, you know, our employee engagement score, I mean, the positive score was significantly improved from 57% to 71%.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I think in Japan, over 70% positive score is very good to prove a great company.
Mm.
So I think that if you have, you know, the empathy with our purpose, vision or culture, just please join Chic Japan. Yeah, you can also be part of the high engagement team members. Yeah.
So the people I've met and of your leadership team are fantastic, and I'd highlight that. I'd highlight that if we'll have Schick Japan link note in the show notes, as well as a link to you, so people can link into you. You have a nice careers page, which I always encourage companies to create a good, strong careers page, so you can reach out if you're interested in working for Schick Japan. And I'm excited to partner with you still over the years, and I'm glad you're doing so well. Thank you for taking time out to speak with us today, Goto-san. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you for inviting me to your podcast again, and then giving such a great opportunity to promote Schick Japan. I hope we can have this kind of exposure again to share my experience with the audience. Thank you. I'm doing the uptown low down.